Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father. He shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now we have talked on abiding in Christ. In verse 1, we have identified the vine, the true vine, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And to abide, the word to abide is to remain, to continue. You cannot remain, you cannot continue, you cannot stay on if you are not a part of it. We must understand that when the Lord Jesus Christ introduced himself as a true vine, he says, you must be in union with me. You must be part of me. So that as a branch that is truly a part of my being, the true vine, you will continue to grow and bear fruit. And as you bear fruit, God the Father, who is the husbandman, will purge it, will prune it, will clean it through his word, that it will bear much fruit. Because if you are not truly a part of the vine, you are just thinking and imagining and trying to say, well, I am a Christian, well, I am a believer because I do this, I go to church, I do this work, I pray, I read the Bible, but you are not truly in Christ. You are a branch that will bear not fruit, and God the Father, who is the husbandman, will take it away. And he will not just take you away, men gather them just like those branches which are useless. It will be cast into the fire and they will be burned. And so he's expecting for us to remain in him, to stay with him, to keep on abiding him, not turning away, not giving ourselves to other things, but focus on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Abide in me, for I in my part is abiding in you. This is a mutual abiding. You must continue to abide in me because I am faithful to abiding in you. I am strengthening you. I'm answering your prayer. I am providing you for all your needs. You must continue to rely on me. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. If you are a branch there not put into a part of this vine, you will not bear fruit. How much preservation, how much good soil or water or whatever chemicals that will be put in that branch, if it is not attached to the true vine, it will not grow, it will not bear fruit. Only if it is the part of the vine that it can receive such nutrients, such juice, such food from the stem, that it will bear fruit from the provision of the true vine. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same mutual abiding, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, he can do nothing. You may think you have done many things for the Lord. You may think you are a successful man and woman in this world. You may think you have accumulated millions and billions of dollars in your bank. That is nothing before the Lord if you are not of him. And that will just be nothing and be rubbish in the eyes of God at the time of judgment, where you work and work and hard work and whatever things that you have done, if it is outside what God wants us to do because we are not part of him, that is nothing. That is useless. That is vain. And so he says, if you are not truly a part of him, if you are a branch and just a pretender, just a hypocrite branch, just a branch that is trying to pose yourself to the world that you are a Christian, you sooner or later will be taken out, you will be gathered, you will be cast into the fire. So you have to abide. How can we abide in Christ? It is through his word. It is through God's word that we can abide in him. He told these apostles, I will be leaving you, and when I will leave you, the word that I have spoken unto you will remain in you. Do it, keep it, observe it, and have it always in your life. And the same is true today. The words that God has given us must be our light, the lamp that will guide us always in everything that we do in our lives. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Ye continue to bear fruit, and that is the identity of those who are of Christ. You are a learner, you are a continuous student of God's word, you are continually receiving the teachings of God as his disciple, and you will bear much fruit. Remain in his love, for he loved us so much. How great the love of God unto us. We have just sung how God loves us, that he came down, condescended into this earth. Our great God, a glorious God, came down into this world so that we can have salvation. That great love, sacrificial, unconditional love given unto us. How can we reject this love? And having this love, we must keep this or ourselves in that love by abiding in him. And that is through keeping his commandments. Jesus Christ himself says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he says again here that if we abide in his love, we must keep his commandments. And that commandment is loving him and loving one another. Now we have this assurance in verses 15 and 16 that he has ordained things. He is sovereign Lord, he's in control of everything, and he is the one who is in arranging and governing the things that we do in lives, and he prepares us to bear fruit. We are assured that if we are a part of the vine, we shall surely have fruit. That is an assurance, because the fluids, that juice, that nutrients that comes from the vine will truly bring fruit. It is not on the branch, it is on the vine. It depends on the vine, that the vine that supplies all this that will cause us to bear fruit. And therefore, we must remain in his name. Now, there are ways, there are times that we seem to be defeated because there is an enemy. The world will hate us, the world will persecute us, the world will hate the Father, the world will hate the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he and the world also will hate us. It will try its best to prevent us from continuing to bear fruit. The world will try to allure us. The world will try to entertain us so that we will be cold in our love for God. The devil, Satan, will try its best to keep us in a way that will not be fruitful. And here, we see that there seems to be a concern that is in the heart of the apostles. How can we do it? If we have this enemy, yes, there is this armor that you have prepared for us to put on. This strength that you will give us, this might that you will give us, how can we do it? How can we fulfill it? How can we overcome this world? And thank God that this strength, this power, this might that he will give us is through this Comforter. The Holy Spirit that he will send unto us, who is from the Father, will be indwelling in us, will cause us to continue on living, abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, abiding in the true vine. When the Comforter is come, I will send unto you. Now, this does not mean that there was no Spirit in the Old Testament. There was no Spirit before this statement. No, the Holy Spirit was with God the Father when they created the world. The Holy Spirit is in the Old Testament. No person came to believe in the Lord Jesus, came to believe the Messiah and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ without the Spirit in him. Every saint from old, even from Adam and Eve, were indwelt by the Spirit of God. But why did the Lord Jesus Christ says here, I will send unto you from the Father this Comforter, this Holy Spirit. And was telling them, when I will leave you, it is necessary for me to leave you. It is necessary for me to go to the cross. But you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be troubled. Because this Holy Spirit will now take rule and reign in your lives. In the Old Testament, it was God the Father who was reigning. He was the preeminent person among in the Trinity. He was the one who was known as the one, the preeminent person in the Trinity, in the Old Testament, in the Gospels. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And after the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected, he went back into heaven. It was the Holy Spirit indwelling in the saints that is now taking rule, that reign. It does not mean that the God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is not involved. We know that these three persons in one God, they cannot be divided. Yes, they can be distinguished. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is one. So in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the person, there's also that abiding of the Son and the Father. For we cannot separate them. We cannot divide. We cannot take away one from another. It is one God. Yet the one who is ruling by hierarchy, we know there is this person, the Father, the Son. We have also the person, the Holy Spirit, the Father that come down to be crucified. The Holy Spirit was not crucified. It was the second person of the Trinity in the Lord Jesus Christ who was crucified. But then here, when he went back into heaven, this is the mystery of this Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will indwell, will abide with us. Now, what is this word comforter? The word comforter is the word parakletos. And it is one called alongside to help. Now, there are three things that we have to learn from this word parakletos, or the Comforter, or the Holy Spirit. Now, we see here that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, we know that he is called an advocate. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We know that we have an enemy. And when we have an enemy, no man is perfect not to have grudges, hatred, and forgiveness in hearts. We must be honest to say that. We are people who are easily instigated, we want to retaliate immediately. You want to take revenge. And later we realize we sin against God. But if we are abiding in Christ, he says, the Comforter is with you, and this Comforter is your advocate. What is an advocate? An advocate is one who defends a person in the court. He is a lawyer. He's an attorney. He will argue for your case. And he will say, yes, this man has sinned. This man is guilty. But his sins is already taken away. He is washed in the blood of the Lamb. He is washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is already justified. You're found guilty, yes. But you don't have to be punished, because everything was already done and borne by God the Son. He is your lawyer. He will always be with you to defend you, to argue for you. Advocate, one who defends, one who is a lawyer. And that Comforter is with you. That Holy Spirit will be with you. And then he says in John 14, 16, he is also described as a comforter, which means a counselor. One who teaches, one who gives counsel, one who comforts your hearts, troubled hearts. We remember here in John 14, they were troubled. Jesus Christ in verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And so he says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. I am your comforter, but I will give you another comforter, the same as me, the same comfort that you will receive, the same comfort that you will have. He may abide with you forever. And this comforter will counsel you, will remind you, will teach you things. That's why he's also known as the Spirit of Truth, because he will be there to remind you of God's promises. He will remind you of how the Lord Jesus Christ died for you, how the Lord Jesus Christ did these things for you, how the Word of God promised you that whenever you have these concerns, you may be discouraged, you may be forsaken, yet God's promise is to be with you and to make you fruitful. That's one thing good with the Christians. That's one thing that is really a good promise of the Lord Jesus Christ for every believer, that we don't have only one who argues for us and advocate, but one who comforts us. Because there are times that really we are down, cast down, and we don't want to get up and walk again. We just want to lie down there because I want to give up. But the Holy Spirit is one who counsels us. He teaches us and He shows us the Word. This is God's Word. This is what the Word is saying. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ promised to us, that He will strengthen us, that He will cause us to bear fruit, continue on. Not only that He will advocate, He's an advocate, He is a comforter, He is also one who intercedes for us. And we don't know how to pray anymore. We don't know how to come before God anymore, because you are so sad, why this happens in my life. This brother, he's supposed to be a believer, he's supposed to be a Christian, why he did these things to me? Well, the enemy was using that situation to cast you down. And you don't know how to pray. You don't know how to come before God. You don't know how to plead God, what to beg before God. Well, we have this Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, one who is called alongside with us, and He is our intercessor. In Romans 8:26, we know that He is praying with us. He is praying for us. Now take note, this is not what the charismatic says, that, well, this is the speaking of tongues, because, you know, it speaks of those things that we cannot utter. No, it is the time that we don't know how to pray, when to pray, and what are the things that we have to pray. We are just, you know, caught in that mire. We don't know how to do it, what to do. Likewise, it says here in verse 26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our lack, our frailties, our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He is the one who knows what is in our heart. He is the one who knows what is ahead of us. He is the one who knows the real situation. See, He is the one who prays for us. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints. For the saints. Take note, it is for the saints. It is for those who are in Christ. It is for the believers. This is for the truly born again Christians, according to the will of God. And that's the reason why everything works together for good. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, because it is the Spirit who intercedes for us. He prays for us. Even the Lord Jesus Christ also is praying for us. And whatever that they pray will surely be answered, because they are one with the Father. And when the Almighty will do these things for us, surely it will bring good things, and we are assured that there is always good result. There might be suffering, there might be some difficulties, troubles in life, adversities, challenges, but we know there will always be good things that will come out, because the one who prays for us is the Holy Spirit Himself, who knows what is ahead, who knows what is our condition, who knows what is the situation. And this is a wonderful promise for every believer. That's why we must make sure we truly are in Christ. Because if we are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not indwelt by the Spirit. That's why we are struggling. That's why in our life there is so much difficulties. We are just walking like on the beach, on that water will, there is difficulty in lifting up your feet to step another step to forward because you are doing it by your own strength. You don't have the Holy Spirit in you. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't believe in yourself. Don't believe in the church. Don't believe in anything apart from Christ. It is only through Him that we have this assurance of the Spirit in our lives. Because He says here in John 15, going back to our text, He says, I will send unto you from the Father even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. And He's speaking of those who are in Him and abiding in Him. I will send unto you the Spirit. And He's the Spirit of truth, because He will testify of what is in the body of doctrines in the Bible. He will give this truth and teach us the truth. The Holy Spirit will always point to the Scripture. Don't believe in these gimmicks of the charismatics who think, oh, well, there is this Holy Spirit who will tickle you, Holy Spirit that will cause you to laugh, Holy Spirit that will tell you in your dreams and in your visions. No, the Holy Spirit will tell you, go back to the Bible, read it. I will give you understanding. That's how the Holy Spirit will teach us. It's not through visions and dreams and experiences. The Holy Spirit will point His teachings to the perfect Word of God, the truth. And whatever will we think it is, we think it is from the Spirit, which is not according to God's Word, which is contradictory to what the Bible says, it is not of the Spirit of God. It is the spirit of the devil. That's why this phenomenon that we have today in visions and dreams and tongues and whatever new revelations that is contrary to the Word of God, it is of the devil. It is satanic. It is demonic. And therefore, every believer, every Christian should stay away and flee from this kind of experiences. The Holy Spirit will always point us to the Bible. He is the Spirit of truth. He was the one who inspires. And when God preserves, the Spirit of God will point us back to what He has preserved. And this is the assurance that we have in God. It is already written. It is already given to us. It is already assured that we will have this. So when we know that He is with us, there is the challenge that He has given in verse 27. And ye also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. As the Spirit testify of me, you who knows the truth and have been with me and have known what I have spoken unto you, and have witnessed how I did miracles, and have witnessed how did I do all the things that to show that I am of God, I am the Son of God, you shall bear witness. You shall bear fruit. And the word bear witness here, if possible, here it means martyr. And it says, if possible, there might be some times that you will be murdered for the sake of Christ. What we have heard yesterday of our sister Grace, some leaders, suddenly they're gone, not because they are raptured, but because they are put in prison, they're put in jail. We thank God in Singapore, also in our country, in the Philippines, and probably in Myanmar, that is not the situation. Well, in the south of Philippines, there are times that some ministers are taken by the extremists. But in China, that is the fact. That is the truth. But shall we stop? Because this is the enemy's way of discouraging us to continue on. He says, ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. As you are indwelt by the Spirit, and this Spirit testifies of me, you also, who knows me, must continue on witnessing for me. And we can only witness for the Lord Jesus Christ if we are in him and we abide continually with him. And I pray that with this truth that we learn from this camp, we will be encouraged to go on, to move on. We may not be able to increase the number of the church for a year or two. You don't have to count numbers to see the fruit. You just look on our brethren and how they have grown in the faith. And how you have been a good witness to those who are visitors here. And how they have felt that warmth of fellowship that you have. And how they have seen the goodness of your generosity in bringing them here. Of how you have caused them to see what is the real meaning of a family Bible camp where the center is the Bible. And how you have welcomed them without any respect of race or color. That alone is the fruit of the Spirit in us. That alone that can be seen by people are the fruit of the Spirit in you. We may not count numbers added into the roll of the church. But if your lives are changed by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit indwells in you, your testimony to other believers, your testimony to other Christians will bring that light as far as the Philippines, as far as Myanmar, as far as China, to bring that good news unto others, to encourage them to continue on. And that fruit that you have will bear fruit in their lives. Let us pray that we continue to bear witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is a must for every believer who are in union in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been with me from the beginning. This is speaking of the apostles. You have known me. I have chosen you. And we also as believers, God has chosen us even from the beginning, even before the foundation of this world. And now that he has chosen us and we are now part in him, not by our own will, but by the will of God, the will of the Father. And now that we are in him, we remain in him, we continue to bear fruit for God. And I pray that we will continue to do this. We should be reminded of this passage, of this chapter. And in order for us to get the whole view of this, we must understand that there is none other way by which we can be fruitful. There is no other way by which we can witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way by which we can testify for Christ. There is no other way by which we can live for Christ except when we are in him and will continue to abide in him. We must continue to abide if we truly we are in him. For it is the way, the only way that we live. Apart from Christ, we are dead. Apart from Christ, we are condemned. Apart from Christ, we are in vain. Apart from Christ, we are useless. But in Christ, we will be fruitful branches. We will bear not only one fruit, but much fruit, many fruit. Fruit that can be tasted by others. Fruit that can be a blessing to others. Fruit that can let others rejoice in the name of the Lord. Fruit that will be seen because God is victorious in our lives. God is reigning in our lives. God is controlling our lives. God is showing us that indeed he is with us. May the Lord grant us understanding and this heart to remain in him. He is the true vine. Indeed, we must be in union with him and to remain with him, so that we shall be fruitful, useful Christians, believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the question here that we have is about forgiveness. Being people as believers who are indwelt forever,